Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of F This Movie, everyone's favorite podcast about movies and podcasts. I am Patrick Bromley, and joining me tonight from regular Virginia, Mr. Alex Lawson.
How's it going?
It's going okay. You seem so far away.
Well, the magic of the internet and whatnot.
This distance makes my heart hurt.
Don't worry about that. The world is a brave new place. With all this great technology, we can talk about mediocre action films.
Mediocre.
We'll get into that. And by the way, your little intros here have really taken a precipitous drop.
What are you talking about?
You used to come up with such hilarious people who like movies and effing and whatever. Like you said, didn't you just say something about the movies and podcasts and that's it?
Yeah. Right. Are you okay? So are you suggesting that I'm making these things up as I say them? Because I take offense. A great deal of planning goes into my introduction, and you've hurt my feelings, and it's a good thing you're so far away, is what I'm saying. How is it going in Virginia? This is the first time you've done a show from another state.
I'll say,
a state of drunkenness, which you've done all the other shows in.
And, you know, and just general, misinformed. It's going really well. Just started this new job this past week. I saw Joe Biden's motorcade the other day.
Sweet. Is that a euphemism for something?
No, it's his actual motorcade of cars.
Oh, that's less sexy than what I was picturing.
Yeah. Now, I mean, you've seen him. I mean, he's a pretty sexy guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going really well, and I believe this is, this is like a, it's got to be a record for F This Movie, correct? As far as distance of, folks.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, good. Well, glad to be blazing new trails.
Absolutely. So I know you have a new job and a new state and everything, but I still have to ask, have you seen anything good lately?
It's so bad. I mean, I haven't, I was throwing my whole world into upheaval with this move and stuff. I haven't really had a lot of time to see much of anything. I did, however, see Inception for the sixth time last night.
Good Lord.
That was Saturday. Sorry, that was Saturday night. We don't have to talk about that again, other than maybe just the fact that I've seen it six times.
That's impressive. Now, why go see a movie that you've already seen five times instead of going to see something new?
My girlfriend, who I now live in the same state proper with, had not yet seen it.
Oh.
And I considered it sort of appointment viewing.
Sure.
And as odd as it sounds, my reasoning here was that, it's been out for like a little over a month, and it'll probably go away fairly soon, and like there was new stuff out, like Scott Pilgrim came out and all that stuff, but it's like, well, that'll be in the rotation for a while here.
Okay.
It's really, I have one, this is like I have dwindling opportunity to see Inception again. Anyway, we don't have to talk about that. Did you see Scott Pilgrim?
I saw Scott Pilgrim.
Okay, how'd that go?
I thought it was great. I liked it a lot. I think I need to see it again. Because it's so busy.
Yeah, okay. I'm even gathering that from the stuff you see.
Right, that I know that there were things, not necessarily that I missed, but just that I want to see again. You get so caught up in the filmmaking that I want to go back and pay more attention to some of the storytelling technique.
Okay.
And I mean, Inception was almost the same way. As soon as I saw it, I knew I got to see that again, partially just because I really enjoyed it.
I have to see it.
I got to see that five more times. Yeah. And is it holding up?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
I'm totally gay for that movie. It's just wonderful. Like it's so trite to say, but I really am putting more things together or formulating new ideas every time I see it.
Yeah. What's the most recent one? Spoilers for Inception, everyone.
Yeah. Spoilers for Inception for like the, I don't know, four out of the last five podcasts.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, just that I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to say like everything that happens like in the reality that is reality is, you know, is a dream, which you and John, you know, spoke of those various theories. But right. something occurred to me, you know, the first time he talks to his kids on the phone.
Yeah. One of them gets older all of a sudden.
Well, yeah.
What is that?
Well, I didn't even think about that. Do you notice that, though?
Am I crazy?
Well, it's two different kids. Are you sure?
I don't know. It's so jarring to me every time.
My thing is this. I mean, and how's this to cook your noodle?
is that some sort of weird Virginia expression?
Yeah. Well, hey, it's like East Coast or something. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, it's like so not East Coast, by the way. Let something Kansas moms say. Anyway, but even beyond that, the kids aging or whatever, they call him at a moment where he's supposed to be on the run in this hotel room from, you know, the right. corporation that right. he couldn't recover the information from. And the phone rings and they call him.
Right.
Where it's like he he's hiding. Now, I don't know if we're to assume that he called earlier or something and gave them contact information, right. but we didn't see that. And, you know, I'm a person who, you know, nothing you're shown is on accident.
Right.
And all that. I mean, that I hadn't even thought of that.
I don't know. Someday we're all going to have to come to terms with the fact that the movie is just filled with flaws.
I know.
But we write them off because we're like, no, it's on purpose. It's to make you feel like you're dreaming. Things are just a little off.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that – oh, what a great caveat that is right? for him.
No matter how he fucks up. It's just like, no, I meant to do that.
It's all just a little off, isn't it? we're going to take him a Spinal Tap.
Yeah, I know. We've turned Christopher Nolan into the worst British cartoon. And correct me if I'm wrong, but right before the kids call, he's spinning the top and like has the gun to his head.
Well, right. he may or may not. Yeah. I mean, he's
like, if it doesn't fall, he's about to shoot himself in the head, right?
Yes. Yeah. That would be the implication.
I didn't catch that. I think on the first viewing, but I think I got it on like the second. It didn't take me till five or six, but
I've only paid for it like twice.
So. Wow. You are a thief.
A
thief of light and sound.
I steal from millionaires.
Our new podcast is called Thieves of Light and Sound.
I steal from millionaires.podcast.com.
podcast.
Yeah, that's a domain. That's a domain.
Yeah. I also saw The Expendables.
Oh. Did you see them both at the same time, Scott Pilgrim and The Expendables?
No, I find it easier to focus on just one movie at a time.
Amateur hour.
Yeah, I find it easier to just pay attention to the one. And then sometimes when one movie ends, I'll watch another one.
Oh, okay.
But to view them both simultaneously, I find...
Oh, Jesus. Well, I've gone and stepped in it now.
Yeah, it's hard. I didn't see them back to back, if that's what you're implying.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, people do that sometimes. So you are not a thief of light and sound.
Then. No, please.
At least on that occasion.
Correct.
How was The Expendables?
It is The Expendables.
Yeah. that's about what I would have expected.
I wanted to like it way more, but at the same time, I didn't dislike it because I was just like, this is what I came for, right? I had enough goodwill towards the people in it. Any movie that's just like, yeah, we'll cast Gary Daniels, I feel like is worth my time. And it was number one at the box office this weekend, marking the only time in history that an Eric Roberts movie outgrossed a Julia Roberts movie in one weekend.
I didn't even know Eric Roberts was in it.
He's the villain, yeah.
Oh, shit. Well.
He's a villain. And
First time for everything.
Yeah, right. Eric Roberts is
nuts.
Outgrossing his sister Julia. So tonight we're talking about let's move on to to tonight's movie. And tonight's movie comes via.
I'll say this was an audience suggestion, was it not?
That is right. And I'm going to read the letter that we got an email to fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. Once again, fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. If you have feedback for the show or a movie you'd like to hear a podcast about, we will try and do a show about it. We can't always. Sometimes we think, what a stupid idea. And we delete those emails. But I always read them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anyway, so here is the email. It comes from a listener, Miguel. Dear F this movie, I never thought this could happen to me. A couple of nights ago, I was curled up on my couch and had just finished watching Quentin Tarantino's masterpiece Jackie Brown when I heard a knock on my door. It was my very attractive neighbor from downstairs holding a six-pack of beer in one hand and a movie in the other. This is not a strange thing, as I live in a very liberal townhome complex dubbed as the Melrose Place of the greater Chicagoland area, where sexy, scantily clad 20-somethings visit upon each other all the time. In a husky Kelly LeBrock voice, she said, "I heard you liked movies about ultra-hip West Coast-based bail bondsmen." I said, "Sure." She said, "Here, F this one," as she handed me a well-worn Blu-ray copy of the Brian Austin Green and Ian Ziering starrer Domino, featuring who Ain't It Cool News calls the sexiest beanpole on the planet, Keira Knightley. To make a long story short, it was one of the greatest nights of my life. I effed this movie. Now I would like you to do the same.
Can we get the Pulitzer people on the phone first of all? For Miguel's just
I felt that
plot narrative. Then?
Yeah,
that
I felt that email was worthy of reading on the show.
Good call, my friend.
And what I find fascinating is that I feel like that email is. Domino is so unworthy of that email.
I couldn't agree more.
It's all leading up to like, hey, can you talk about Dom? Like, he put more thought into that email than anyone put into Domino.
That's not the highest of praise that you just gave, but yeah, you're absolutely correct.
Though I will say the Kelly LeBrock reference kind of dates Miguel.
Little bit. What would be the modern equivalent of that? You're a little bit older than I am. I don't know.
Take it easy. I'll say Keira Knightley.
Yeah, sure. Keira Knightley. The Keira Knightley husk voice.
Which, of course, segues into our discussion of Domino, Tony Scott's 2005 acid fest, based on the true life story of Domino Harvey, the daughter of Lawrence Harvey, a model turned bounty hunter who died shortly before this movie was released of an accidental drug overdose. Though she apparently did get to see the movie and liked it. But
her and at least four others.
Well, yeah. So I've seen Domino a handful of times and we'll get into that later on, but you, sir, this was your first viewing of Domino. This is another F this movie first, because every other movie we've talked about has always been a movie that, like, we've seen a handful of times, unless it was something brand new, like Sex and the City 2, you know, was only seen once and then F'd. But, like, for the most part, it was stuff we've been pretty familiar with, but not Domino. So let's get your initial reactions to Domino.
My initial reactions to Domino. When it was over, I said, well, I mean, that's something that happened.
Okay.
And by that, I just mean, it was directed by Tony Scott.
Correct.
Who has made movies that I really like in the action vein.
What are they?
The man gave us Top Gun, for crying out loud.
Okay, I'm going to come out right now as a person who doesn't like Top Gun.
Well, we can have that. I mean, we can have that discussion another time. He also, I mean, he made True Romance.
Yes, and that is a movie I love a lot.
Yes, we all do.
Yes, True Romance I love. But I was looking at because here's the thing about Domino.
Okay.
I don't even hate Domino. I think Domino is fucking horrible. It's a terrible movie that I don't mind saying I kind of like. I mean, I'll put it on and I think it's fine. Like, but again, I'm well aware of all of its flaws. I'm not even calling it a guilty pleasure because I don't necessarily feel guilty about it. But I recognize it for the piece of shit that it is. Okay. And I don't care. I still can watch Domino. But as I'm watching it, I'm thinking Tony Scott is certainly a popular director and a successful director. But
for sure,
as bad as Domino is, it's still, I would say, in his top five movies as far as I'm concerned, because I went on his IMDb page and I realized I've hated most of Tony Scott's movies.
He has a good, I mean, he has a good, what do you say, repertoire if you're sort of picking selectively, I think.
I thought I was. Domino ended up at like number four. How much more selective can I get? Here's the order. It goes True Romance.
Okay.
Last Boy Scout.
Yeah.
Revenge.
Mm-hmm.
Domino.
Now, see, I put The Hunger above Domino.
I need to say something.
Oh, have you not?
I've never seen The Hunger.
Have you not experienced The Hunger?
I've never seen The Hunger. I've always wanted to see The Hunger for more than just the Susan Sarandon lesbian scene. I've just always wanted to see it, and I never have. So you're probably right. Oh. The Hunger probably beats Domino.
The Hunger's good.
And probably The Revenge.
Good. Yeah. And although I haven't seen Revenge, so maybe we'll meet up and have a reevaluation of our lists. The Hunger, by the way, just a little diversion, is very good in hindsight that with what's happened with all the vampire fiction.
Okay.
So it really holds up in that regard. So
I like that you say vampire fiction as though it's not redundant.
I mean, there's a lot of good vampire biopics that are in the pipeline, and I wanted to delineate for the listeners. Check out The Hunger. I also think Beverly Hills Cop 2 is better than The Things, than Domino.
Maybe. I mean, Beverly Hills Cop 2 is definitely watchable, but it's just reminiscent of, like, bad 80s excess. But it's totally watchable. I'm not a fan of Man on Fire, even though I want to be.
No, me neither. Me neither.
But here's the thing, and maybe this is our good segue into Domino. Man on Fire is the movie that, like, boy, I might have liked that movie if Tony Scott could have gotten out of his own fucking way. And then, apparently when making Domino, he learned all the wrong lessons from Man on Fire, because he thought,
clearly,
what's the stuff that made that movie unwatchable? Let me do only that when I make Domino.
That, only that. When you – back to my initial thoughts of Domino.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Because I sort of underplayed it.
Yeah.
Even though it was my first time seeing it, I did have context of it. I knew, that it had come out, 5 years ago, and that it was sort of based on a true story. And I remember seeing trailers and thinking that they were, the trailers are like totally badass. I mean, they're on YouTube now. You can watch them. It had that cool quick cuts and the looping dialogue, and she's got that sexy accent and all that. And I'm like, oh, this is sort of cool. And then, when the movie was over, I'm like, oh, the whole movie is like that.
Yeah.
And that's Man on Fire suffered from that too. Another movie that had a great fucking trailer.
Yeah.
And then was like, oh, the whole thing is edited in that fashion.
Yeah.
And it's tough to say if there's something to be said about style, and he's nothing if not completely decisive and like, I'm going to do it this way and I have these goals to accomplish and no shot is going to last longer than 5, 7 seconds.
Right.
Something.
But to what end? You know what I mean? Like,
it's, I'm not.
I know you're not defending, but it's like, what does he think he's accomplishing? That's what I don't understand. Like, it's like an old man's idea of what the kids might be into. And Tony, he definitely established a very specific aesthetic in the 80s. And some of that, I think, comes from Don Simpson and Jerry Bruckheimer, because they were the producers of his first few movies, not The Hunger, but... And they had a very specific aesthetic, and so he was directing to that. And it's that Top Gun style. It was very slick, and it's what's been assimilated by the Simon Wests and Dominic Cenas, and of course the Michael Bays of the world. They're essentially riffing on what Tony Scott did in the 80s. And so it's like he needs to crank that up to 1,000. The only time I think his aesthetic has ever actually worked is True Romance. And again, that's the only one of his movies that I genuinely love. Because to me, the aesthetic works because it's about these two characters who see themselves in a movie, and that's the way that their movie is shot. You know what I mean? That the artifice and slickness of it is part of what's going on thematically. Everywhere else, I've always hated that style, and apparently now that style's not even enough, because he's doing something far worse, I think. It is aggressively unwatchable.
the other thing that comes to mind, I mean, I think is that, I don't know if it's like technology or evolving audiences or something, but like it's done him no favors. Cause while you say, you know, Top Gun, you know, sort of established his like aesthetic. I mean, mm-hmm. Top Gun doesn't do the things that Domino does from a, you know,
right. No, Top Gun is still watchable.
Yeah. But you can see it in like, there's progression. It's a digression into what Domino became, because mm-hmm. like, even if you watch a movie as early as Enemy of the State, which I think was 97 or something, 90, which actually is 98. Another 98, 98,
yeah.
Which actually is another movie that I would put above Domino.
Okay.
Anyway, so there you go. It just keeps getting knocked down. But anyway, that one, that has some traces of this.
Yeah.
I mean, just it's a different story that's being told, so it's not totally over the top like how Domino is in terms of the aesthetic. But right. the seeds are sort of there, and it just builds and builds, and then you get Domino. But yeah, I mean, as far as to your question about to what end, ugh. I mean, I don't know if we're going to make any tread, any headway on that,
right.
In our podcast.
The style of the movie is very reminiscent of Natural Born Killers. But again, for me, Natural Born Killers, and that's a movie I like, and I know a lot of people hate that movie. And I understand the criticism against that movie. It's not what one might call subtle. That I think was interesting and at least sort of reflected what he was trying to say about the movie, and it's all these different forms of media just smashed together. And if nothing else, even if you hated the movie and hated the style, I thought you could at least appreciate it as a mm-hmm. as a feat of filmmaking. And again, he was just riffing on what he had started in JFK, and it's that approach gone too far, much the way that Tony Scott has done with Domino. But again, he's just sort of learned all the wrong lessons, because in Natural Born Killers, whether you like it or not, or whether you think it's effective or not, and you can make a case either way, you can at least say, well, I get why he did it. But no one mm-hmm. can say that about Domino, I don't think.
That's I would agree, and that's an interesting movie that you point to, Natural Born Killers, because the thing that Domino comes closest to in terms of making some sort of cohesive point
mm-hmm.
is the tenuous or sometimes not so tenuous connection between, you know, killers and celebrities. Because, you know, they get their own reality show and, you know, the whole thing just sort of takes off.
Right. But again, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I'll be brief. And I'm like, oh, I mean, that's something that sort of resembles a point. And then I remembered, oh, yeah, that's sort of really well-worn territory in Natural Born Killers, which is that movie's whole thesis.
Right. And at least that movie is about turning killers into celebrities, or the way that we celebrate all the wrong kinds of people. Because in Domino, it's like, why? What does one have to do with the other? They're not necessarily making a point about mm-hmm. professional killers or even bounty hunters.
It's sort of incidental, if anything.
Right. It's like Tony Scott. What? Oh, there's a thing called reality TV and the kids are watching it. Well, let's throw that shit in there.
For sure.
And I don't know if the real Domino Harvey was approached with a reality show, because I was actually
just going to ask you that. Yeah. That'll lead you to what you're about to say.
Well, so because here's the thing about Domino. I like it for this reason, and I strongly dislike it for this reason. The whole point of Domino is that it takes this real-life character, Domino Harvey, and then makes up this crazy batshit fake story that it's very upfront about the fact that it's doing. It's very upfront about saying, like, this is all bullshit. This is all made up, and it doesn't matter that this didn't happen. It's just a crazy story. So on the one hand, I like that it's willing to say, it doesn't matter, we're making all this shit up. It's a fucking movie, people.
Sure.
But at the same time, it's infuriating because what's the point of even including a real life character then? Like, if you want to make a movie about this real life daughter of a movie star model turned bounty hunter, great. That's a great fucking movie. Make that movie. They're obviously not interested in making that movie. So why include this interesting real person and then put them in a movie that's completely made up and assembled from pieces of other movies and things like reality TV that just have no place. I mean, the movie's climax is just ripped off of True Romance. Like, Tony Scott is just repeating himself. And even that is ripped off from Reservoir Dogs. It was Tarantino using the same ending twice because one screenplay hadn't been produced yet, so he put it into Reservoir Dogs. Then they both get made, and they both have the same ending. And now here's Tony Scott going back, you know, 12 years and just reusing the same ending that wasn't his to begin with.
This is a little bit different, though, because this one includes
Dabney
a girl Coleman. With two, well, yeah, with two assault rifles
right.
screaming, at the, which is a totally cool thing. And I remember seeing that in the trailer, too, that just it's, you know, if you'll pardon the disgusting pun, it is something of the money shot.
Right.
The hot it's, you know, if you're going to make a movie about a hot chick who shoots people, that's what you want. That one shot where she just sort of, you know, rises up. And so, but like if you have to go through what you went through to get to that
right.
one cool, you know, 4 seconds of movie, it's just a mess. But more to your point about I couldn't agree more in terms of the intertwining of truth and fiction, because I was really turned off by that from the very beginning, where it's like, you know, this is based on a true story, sort of.
Right.
And I feel like I'm being winked at and yes. nudged.
Well, the whole movie is just, I mean, the inclusion of 90210 actors, Brian Austin Green and Ian Ziering.
Yeah.
Like, they, I think, are one of the best things about the movie, because
undoubtedly
they're watchable on screen, and they obviously have a sense of humor about it, but they appear to be sort of taking it seriously. But the whole conceit of them being in the movie is just this dumb, winking, ironic thing where it's like, it's so lame and we're being ironic and aren't we clever and subversive.
Yeah.
And the movie was written by Richard Kelly, who is a director that I like. And
I was waiting to – I was going to talk about that a little later, because I know he's a person you hold in very high regard.
Well, I don't know if I hold him in high regard, but I like him.
all right.
But well. All of his thing – everything he touches turns to flaw because –
Because he's not entirely sane?
Right, because he's not entirely talented is the problem. And I think he makes interesting movies that are incredibly problematic.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a movie that he wrote, and I did a little bit of reading on this. I don't tend to do a lot of preparing or note-taking, but I did do a little. I did do a little bit of reading, and there's an interview with Richard Kelly where he talks about he can't believe a major studio made this movie. Meanwhile, it was New Line. I mean, they're owned by Warner Brothers, but New Line is like a mini major. Sure. And I can't. I think he said it's like this has to be the most subversive studio movie since Fight Club, and that to me suggests that Richard Kelly doesn't know what the word subversive means,
or he hasn't seen Fight Club in a while.
Well, Fight Club is genuinely subversive.
Well, no, I know, and there is nothing
right. There is just nothing subversive about Domino. I mean, it's a movie that again thinks it's being. It's like a 12-year-old's idea of like what a subversive punk rock movie would be. Like when I was like 16 or 17 and I wanted to make movies, right? This was, you know, right after Quentin Tarantino had hit. So of course,
sure.
All you want to do is sort of reproduce that where it's just, it's cool and there's pop culture references and there's guns and everybody's tough and cool and they say cool things and all that shit. Domino is like that is like the movie that I would have made as a 16-year-old.
Yeah, but that's not a compliment.
No, that's think. What I'm. No, I don't mean it to be one at all. It's like grow the fuck up, everyone. Grow up, all of you.
The style, the grating things about the style and the visual aesthetic. I mean, I think we've been abundantly clear on that.
Yeah.
And then now that we're sort of talking about Richard Kelly, I think this is a good time to say that I have no fucking idea what happens in this movie. I mean, I really don't.
Right.
I don't think I'm dumb. I mean, but and here's the real point. Even if you were to explain to me all the things that happened, it's the more pressing issue is that I really could not care less.
Absolutely. No, that's the bigger issue.
That becomes the issue. And that's probably why I didn't. And it's, you know, that.
Right.
Like there's so many odd choices that happen. I really don't know where to begin, but I guess here's a good place. Keira Knightley is like the lifeblood of this movie, right? And she's lost a little bit of steam now as far as like a sex symbol goes. But in 2005, I mean, you know, the first Pirates movie came out in 2003, and she is like on top of the world, like, you know, the hottest, you know, I'm not into that really. But I mean, you know, as far as like, you know, marketable, you know, female stars. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she went, you know, the big thing is like, oh, you know, she gave the full spano, to use a F this movie term. You know, that was the big selling point. Correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, it feels like, or even if I'm wrong, then at least it feels, I mean, she disappears for like the middle 40 minutes of this movie, it feels like.
Yeah, well, there's all these different subplots about Monique, who now has an Oscar.
Oh, apostrophe Nick.
Yeah. Yes. And Dabney Coleman as a crime boss. And I will say the cast of this movie is pretty good. Like, it's great to see Dabney Coleman on screen. Mm-hmm. Mickey Rourke has a great part before Mickey Rourke had become cool again, you know, with the wrestler.
Maybe we table that for a second because I want to talk about where this fits into the Mickey Rourke resurgence.
Okay.
Later.
Okay. So the cast is pretty cool. But again, they take an interesting character and they're not interested in exploring that. And instead they invent this nonsensical plot with like double crosses and people stealing money and different groups of gangsters and bail bondsmen who are trying to pay for an op. I mean, it all comes down to like Monique or Domino is trying to save the life of a child because she needs money for an operation.
Yeah. And isn't the fact that like everything, the fact that she falls so far into the background, even though the movie is called Domino and mm-hmm. she narrates the movie and, you know, it was geared around her and all that, the fact that she becomes such a, you know, part of the scenery, isn't that a testament to the fact that, like you were saying, you probably shouldn't have geared this around her anyway and just make up a fictional thing.
Right.
Because you're right. I mean, it's a totally cool idea. A model turns into a bounty hunter, right. Shoots people.
Right.
I am so for that. I'm there with that. And it's just such a mess.
Well, and the movie, you know, it's not interested in really exploring her relationship with Mickey Rourke or how she falls into this crazy life of violence or anything like that.
They touch on some of that stuff for a second, and right. I'm more into that.
Every once in a while, you get a hint of like a movie that could have been.
Yeah.
Even late in the movie, when they do mescaline and get naked in the desert and have a vision of Tom Waits, because again, Tony Scott is repeating himself, and in True Romance, Christian Slater saw Elvis. So when here we're going to see Tom Waits as the spiritual leader. Sure. But it's an interesting scene, and he gives this long speech about how, like, to save your soul, you have to save this kid. And it doesn't work in the movie because nothing that happens before or after it justifies that scene.
That is totally fucking dumb. Does she even know that, like, at that point, does she even know that that Monique has a granddaughter who's sick?
I have no idea.
Neither do I.
Right.
And if the answer to that is no, and that's actually how she like comes to know about it. I mean, that's just sloppy storytelling of the worst order.
Well, again, it was written by Richard Kelly, whose screenplays are rarely airtight.
Even beyond like being sort of, you know, loosely connected. I mean, you're just going to have Tom Waits show up as like Obi-Wan Kenobi in the desert and just tell her key pieces of information. And then he's never heard from before since.
He's more of a Qui-Gon. But I like that scene because to me, it seems like, okay, partially because Tom Waits just sells it, but it's like, okay, maybe now this is where the movie turns. And we have this character who's been lost and
I kind of thought so too.
Is doing this thing, you know, has fallen into this life of violence, presumably for money or because she just doesn't know what else to do. She has all this rage inside of her. Okay. But now it's become like, listen, chances are you're going to die. This is essentially a suicide mission, but you have to do this. And this is your... this will hopefully provide some sort of redemption for your soul. And I was like, oh, interesting if that becomes the through line for the rest of the movie. But the second that scene is over, all of those ideas are dropped. Yeah. And it's just back to crazy editing and wackiness and shootouts in elevators. And, and it's a bummer.
Yeah, it really is. I have a question. And maybe you, even though you claim to be so unprepared, I think it's a classic undersell job by you.
Please.
I don't know when, do you remember when in 2005 this came out? Was it before or after Sin City came out? Because it was also in 2005.
It was after.
Okay. Now see, this is really interesting then, because I want to take this time to talk about the Mickey Rourke thing.
Okay.
Because I think he's really good in this.
Yeah.
When he's, I mean, he, apart from the fact that he's given nothing to do, and I mean, like nothing at all, he, you know, he gets that little introduction where she says, this is, you know, Ed. And then his name goes on the screen like it does with everybody else. And he's something. Yeah. Oh, what it will.
Let's have more movies where that happens.
That shit sucks. anyway, so, you know, he sort of borders on being something of a father figure.
Right.
And then he just, you know, like a lot of the things in this movie, anything remotely interesting gets pushed to the side.
For the benefit of this non-existent plot, which is like lots of plot, but none of it means anything. It's just endless exposition that builds to nothing. And we're here sitting, you know, saying, oh, this could have been interesting. This could have been interesting. No, no, no. Let's get back to the thing about the kid and the reality TV show. What? Why?
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a real mess. But I mean, I think he's really good in it. And I mean, it was weird for me to see it again for the first time, seeing how it sort of fits into what has become his, like, you know, latter half of the decade renaissance.
Yeah,
or whatever. Because, you know, Sin City came out, and you know he was back, but he was not really, you know, he was under all that great fucking makeup. And then this happens. Perhaps this is why there was such a gap between what happened in Sin City. And I was like, oh my God, Mickey Rourke's in movies again. And then he kind of wasn't seen again too much until The Wrestler came out.
Right.
Which is I mean, these, like the things that he's doing in Domino when he's given stuff to do, is the stuff that he does really well.
Right. Well, he's just one of those actors that, like, there's nothing really written for him on the page, but he creates a character just based on his performance. That's actually one of the things I've noticed about Inception. Also, not to get back to Inception, but people rip on,
we
you
can
know,
always get back to Inception.
There's a lot of criticism about how all of the characters are very thinly written, and that's probably true, but they end probably up all working true. Because the cast is so good that they infuse them with enough that you feel like you're watching characters, even though when you really step back and think about it, you're like, oh, I can't tell you one thing about really anyone's personality except for maybe Tom Hardy. but even that, you know, isn't so much written as it is in his performance. And Mickey Rourke is one of those guys. So like you said, there's nothing really written for him as Ed Mosby. But he makes it into a character.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to watch the movie because he spends most of his screen time opposite Choco. Sorry, Edgar Ramirez as Choco, who also has a character that's not really written, but isn't really able to make it into anything because it's not that great of a performance. And
it's totally, I mean, well, that's, I mean, that's just a totally weird character. They set up the fact that he likes her. Which, you know, through brilliant, subtle narration, they say he fancies me, but he's too shy to do anything about
right.
it. Boy, what a great way to just build tension. Just tell us. God, that sucks. and then there's that weird, I guess their little lover's spat culminates in that when she yells at him in the hotel room saying, stop speaking Spanish, it's not fucking cute, it's not anything to me, and she shuts the door in his face. And it's at that point, there's the movie is filled with moments like that where there are so much, like, you're like, oh, they're playing the important music and, you know, sort of lingering on people for more than 7 seconds. And I feel like, you know, it's like, oh, there's something of a moment occurring here, but again, I'm not entirely sure, and more importantly, I just don't care about what's happening. And that's a real shame.
It's pretty impossible to care about anything that happens in the movie. Even when you get to the end, there's the climactic shootout. And again, it's ripped off really from True Romance, where you just have a room full of people with guns pointed at each other and somebody starts shooting and everybody gets shot. And in True Romance, it really works. And you have an understanding of what's happening for the most part. I mean, there's definitely implied chaos, but you basically understand what's happening. And there's some dramatic weight to it because some characters that you didn't want to see shot are shot. And in Domino, there's no weight to it. You can't tell what's going on. You see Dabney Coleman get shot, and then it's anyone's guess from there. And he blasts "Mama Told Me Not to Come" over the soundtrack. Why? I don't know. Because again, the 12-year-old kid thinks that would be cool. It's an ironic disconnect between the song that's playing and what's happening chaotic, on screen.
Yeah. It's weird because it's weird that you made both of these two comparisons independently. But you said it's like the 12-year-old kid's idea of the movie that he wants to make. While, and I'm not even saying you're contradicting yourself, because somehow they both work. It is that like sad old man making the movies for the younger kids.
Right.
Somehow those two mentalities are really
because neither one of them gets it.
I know. Yeah.
The 12-year-old and the old man, neither one gets it, and they both are trying to approximate this thing that is out of their reach, and that's what Tony Scott is doing in this movie and kind of what Richard Kelly is doing. And I don't know how much I can fault Richard Kelly because he was paid to write a script about, and he's pretty upfront. Like, none of this happens. I don't think he wrote a particularly good script, but I think that it's sort of Tony Scott's call to say, I don't think I'm going to shoot this script and I'm going to wait till the script is good. So I don't know how much, I can fault him for the end result. But
probably not. I mean, for as many pot shots we're taking, although I will have to say, I can think of few lines dumber in my life. I mean, of course, we can nitpick dumb lines from this shit fest. But especially when things are supposed to, the worst kind of stupid lines aren't just like the throwaways or like the one liners or something.
Right.
It's the things that like that are supposed to have meaning, and like carry a theme.
Right.
How can you look at a line like, there are three kinds of people in the world, the rich, the poor, and everyone in the middle, and say, oh yeah, I'll go ahead and construct a narrative around that.
Hey, actor, say that line. Like,
say it.
No, there's three kinds of people in the world: men, women, and those weird he/she's.
Well, that's at least funny.
Right.
The other thing is just, I mean, that's a literal economic breakdown.
Right.
There's the rich and the poor and everyone else.
That's like, that's someone's approximation of deep writing who doesn't know how to write with actual depth. You know what I mean? Throughout the movie, she's repeating heads you win, tails you die.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that like, she's not really ever flipping a coin to decide what happens to people. She's no Tommy Lee Jones as Harvey Two-Faced Dent.
No Aaron Eckhart as Harvey Two-Faced.
And the movie really isn't about chance or fate.
Not at all. Not a second. No.
And then the last line, of course,
we all fall down. Isn't that what she says?
Yeah. One thing's for certain. We all fall down. Like, I get it. Your movie's called Domino, and dominoes fall down, and we all fall down, which I guess means we all die. And that's true. And Domino has reminded me of my own mortality more than most movies. I get it. But, like, that has nothing to do with the fucking movie. I always think of Legends of the Fall. Have you ever seen Legends of the Fall?
Not in ages.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
But it ends with, like, Brad Pitt being killed by a bear off screen or something. And it's like, he had a good death. And, like, that's how the movie ends. And I'm like, so that's what it's about, having a good death? That's what this movie was about? I thought it was about Brad Pitt coming home over a hill and everyone saying, hey, everyone, Brad Pitt's home. Because that happens, like, five times in that fucking movie. But I love when movies at the very end try and insert a meaning that hasn't been present for the previous 2 hours. We all fall down.
What well, you're forgetting. Yeah, well, that, there's that. And then you're forgetting the thing that shortly precedes that, which is where they try and put the like philanthropic spirit in everybody, where, like you said, she's commissioned with this mission to save the little girl.
Right.
With the expensive operation, which, by the way, one of the things I like about the movie is that at one point Monique says it cost $300,000. And, well, they went and stole $10 million. So I think that's kind of great.
They just want to give her that operation a lot.
That's kind of great. Yeah, I mean, you got to make sure you get all that stuff. So, you know, whatever the hell it is.
Are we supposed to be happy at the end when the girl gets the operation?
There's that. And then the money just ending up in that.
Right.
Afghan village,
right?
Where it's like, okay, that's a good thing to do with money, I guess. Even though they can't really, from a practical standpoint, I realize the message of it, but even though they can't really do anything with it.
Right.
By the way,
well, but again, but it's all part of this. What again? The movie thinks is a subversive spirit in that it's like, "Hey, man, anything goes. Like, we're gonna do whatever. Anything goes." And yeah, the money goes to Afghanistan. Why not? Yeah, it's fucking crazy because we're subversive, and none of it is. There's a scene right before that at the end of the movie where presumably, you know, pretty much everyone's dead except for Domino because. Right. You know, heads you win, tails you – heads you live, tails you die, and she was granted life or something. Like, what? What the fuck is that? Anyway.
Yeah.
It's a scene of her, like, back home in her swimming pool with her mom. Mm-hmm.
They're, like, sharing a moment. Jacqueline Bisset, by the way.
Right.
Age, great. Go.
Yeah, but appearing in Domino. And for a moment, just the visual, I was like, okay, once again – that's interesting to me because
I'm sort of into that. You know, you come full circle, you know,
well,
you
right.
do all...
and you're reminded of like, oh, she's basically just a kid and a rich kid, but like she's a kid and was so far out of her fucking depth. And that's interesting to me. But again, the movie doesn't earn any of that. I'm assigning that meaning to that shot. I think, I don't know. Keira Knightley. Here's the thing. I'm not what you would call a Keira Knightley fan.
Me either.
There's a lot of jaw going on there. And
a lot of jaw.
A severe,
lot of bug eyes. Yeah. She got bug eyes. She was like a praying mantis.
She got the bug eyes. She got a severe.
Janine, sorry about the bug eyes.
Got like a severe kind of underbite thing happening. And especially going into Domino, I was not a fan. And I had seen that trailer that you mentioned a lot.
Sure.
Because it used to show before every movie. And that fucking, my name's Heavy. Domino Harvey. I'm a bounty,
bounty hunter.
Oh, shut the fuck up. But I came out of Domino with sort of a new respect for Keira Knightley. I actually thought she's pretty good in the movie.
Yeah. She's got charisma and she carries the movie from time to time. And that's another reason I took such issue with her becoming such a cursory part of the story.
Yeah, right.
I was
right.
Like, what the fuck is going on? I mean, you have to admire. I mean, I guess you have to admire a film that dedicates like 8 minutes to Monique making new racial delegations
on the Jerry Springer show. Anything goes. Hey, America, you watch Jerry Springer, right? That's what the kids are doing. They're watching Jerry Springer. Let's put it in the movie.
It's just it's reeking of relevance.
Oh, my God.
You know what is great about this movie, though? And I have a soft spot in my heart for movies like this.
Yeah.
And this obviously fell prey to that, like as soon as they were done cutting it. I love movies that I know when I watch them, I'm just like, oh, God, this is really not going to age well. I can't wait until I am like 60 and I'm going to pop in a copy of Domino and just laugh my ass off. There are so many things that are just – I mean it's 5 years later and I was just laughing. I'm not talking about like technology and stuff. Like, I'm just talking about just the general way people – speak and act and again and the shows they go on and the people's like, oh man.
Well, but again,
it's just,
it's such
a time capsule. It's so great.
But the movie was dated when it came out. Like,
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Reality TV as a notion for filmmaking had been done, you know, like the Truman Show did it 7 years earlier.
No. And TV.
Right.
The very same year, different. Those are different movies.
Right.
Who, you know, do the reality show thing in unique ways. And yeah, by that time,
it was already, right. It was already dated in 2005, and so yeah, of course, it's way more dated now. I can't imagine watching this movie when I'm old. Like, I feel like I'll have a stroke if I try and watch this movie when I'm older. I almost have a stroke now.
Good point.
Because the things that are wrong with it bother me much more every time I watch it. Stylistically, I mean, you know, the story's always been a fucking mess. But again, like I said, I've always thought Domino was watchable. Like, I've always been able to watch it, and there are elements about it that I like, and that's always carried me through it. But yeah. But again, watching it like this time, Tony Scott's, I think as I get older, I just have less patience for that kind of fucking nonsense. Like,
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
You're a parent. You have a small son, but I'm asking you to, you know, just if from a character perspective.
Okay.
Because I've actually read, I did some reading too, in advance of this. And we don't need to go into like a sociology class here or anything, but like, where do we approximate, like, I'm not talking about the real person, because God knows what that is. This version of Domino Harvey, mm-hmm. that we're presented with, where are we to place her in like the canon of like female heroines for like, you know, a new legion of like young girls to like, I'm not saying look up to, because that's not what we're going for. But I mean, as far as like, you know, where do we put her in terms of like the realms of like the Ellen Ripley's of the world, or I'm drawing blanks on other things, but I mean, put it this way, as far as, forget about the things that Domino sucks at, as far as being an action movie that has a female main character,
right?
What's your take on it from that perspective? Do you feel like it has a lot to say about, like, I don't know, feminine mystique or stuff like that? I mean, because she leaves behind such a world of, you know, sort of surfacey decadence in favor of just finding criminals?
No. I think that movie could have been made.
I think so too.
Unfortunately, I don't think Domino has anything to say really about anything, except for how much of a hack Tony Scott has become. And yeah. I think, as a result, it's irrelevant. Like, it's not even that it's like such a horrible example of like, okay, look at it this way. When Salt came out for the F This Movie site, which is fthismovie.blogspot.com, I did like F These Female Action Heroes. And it didn't even fucking occur to me that like Domino was made and that's a female action hero. I did not think of it. So this movie doesn't exist. You know what I mean? Like, it was forgotten practically the weekend it came out. And I don't think it's lived on really. It hasn't developed any kind of cult, I don't think.
Yeah, that's true. That's what I thought you were going to say. And that's what I think too, just in terms of like, we talked about this when we talked about The Matrix, Reloaded, you know, the thing that I get that's even more, you know, depressing than a bad movie is like a movie that missed an opportunity. And you know, I think that's about where we're at on Domino, as far as, that there was such a cool thing maybe lurking in term, and not even maybe just one cool thing. There's a couple of different cool movies that could,
right,
you know, be around, like,
right,
a thing that leaves behind all this stupid, kitschy reality show stuff in favor of just a pretty standard narrative about a female bounty hunter that used to be a model, or, you know, something that has like a little more of a feminine arc, you know, as far as like what's, you know, what's really important in life and all that. And then even your, like, the more coming of age tale that it sort of tries to be again there at the end with that,
right,
the scene with her and her mother. And it's just some, horrid amalgam of all those things, and it just amounts to.
And just kind of barely, because like what maybe one scene, you know, pays service to each of those ideas that you've just talked about. Because for the most part, again, it's always back to like who's got the money and who double crossed who and are the kids dead and what happened. I'm fascinated at the end of the movie though when they show the picture of the real domino. It's
Oh,
dedicated to the
is
real
that?
domino.
Oh, did I must have been in such a hurry to turn it
Yeah, you know
off.
what? I think it
I
might
think
be.
I.
I think it might be like after the end credits, but you can
Oh,
certainly
it
find a
is.
picture of her online anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's very funny because you're like, oh, they cast Keira Knightley because that is Hollywood. Like, oh, they
I've
saw
seen
that
her.
girl and then said, let's get Keira Knightley. Because the two could not be more different.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of her. I didn't
Yeah.
see the one. I didn't know they put it at the end of the film.
I think she's like got her head shaved in the picture at the end of the movie. I mean, there's pictures of her online where she looks more feminine. It's particularly funny the one they use in the movie because
Oh, really?
it couldn't look less like it looks more like Choco than it does Keira Knightley. Not to disrespect the dead, and I am not trying to say anything bad about Domino Harvey, but just it's not a great picture.
She will haunt your dreams now.
She might.
You've gotten yourself in way over your head here.
That scene, like, here's a great example of like nonsense. There's a scene, the only scene where she's ever really shown to be a bounty hunter, where they were gonna bring some people in, and she's like, "Give me a name, and I'll give you a lap dance."
Oh, yeah.
And again, it's this 12-year-old's idea of like,
Yes.
"Oh, anything goes. How about she gives him a lap dance?" Like, if that really happened, then okay, great. But somehow I suspect it didn't.
I don't think it did either, and
And
it's just
the movie gives no way of like delineating what is real and what isn't. And I understand that's part of the gimmick that you're not supposed to know, but you know, ultimately you just assume it's all bullshit. And I
here's
would,
something.
yeah,
Yeah,
go, no, go ahead.
go ahead.
I
No. Finish your
just
point, because mine is totally
I would
different
have
too.
liked to know that more of it was based in reality. And I know I'm contradicting myself because I like, in theory, I like a movie that says, let's throw all that out the window and just tell this crazy story.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the point you keep coming back to is you want more of it to be real or none of it. I mean,
Yes,
I think that that's where we're at here.
right.
I noticed something about the lap dance scene. And mind you, this is a movie where, she goes top front. In terms of, showing things, I'm
Right.
pretty sure that she's using a body double in the lap dance scene.
Oh, really?
If you watch it, I mean,
I have
you
to
don't
watch
really,
Domino again?
yeah, you're gonna have to, or at least that part, because it's a lot of tight shots, and you never really see her face in contiguous. I don't think she was bashful. I think what we can deduce from this is that Keira Knightley, not a very good lap dancer.
Wouldn't that have been so much more interesting?
Yes, of course it would
If
have,
she
but
gave
it's.
like an awkward bad lap dance and perhaps telling of the character,
Yeah.
why does she have to be awesome at lap dancing? When did
Because
she acquire
it's,
that skill?
because it's got that mentality you were talking about, the little,
Right.
the prepubescent dude mentality. But, that's what we got, and that's what we have for the rest of time.
Domino.
Domino.
I hope we effed it well. What do you think?
I really think we did a good job, and I have to say, it felt really good to have like some vitriol. I really think we've been softballing ourselves
Well, we've been picking movies
here.
that we like.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Where it's just like it's it, well, in movies that we like or movies that we kind of like and
Right.
have some issues with. Like, nah, if I mean, didn't it feel good to just be like, that fucking sucked and that just pisses me off and God, it could have been so much better.
Again,
That's
having
that.
said all that, that's probably not the last time I see Domino.
No, I don't think it is
I'll
either.
probably see Domino again. So as much as I say, like, fuck you, Tony Scott, what the fuck did you do?
There's going to be a night where
Yeah, right?
you're looking across your vast expanse of
Right, and I'm
DVDs and
totally
just,
like, I gotta watch Domino.
well, we got to give this another whirl. Maybe it'll be better. Probably not, though.
It's never gonna be better. Like, it's never gonna be better than the first time I saw
That's a good point. But hey, keep trying.
it. Well, thanks for effing Domino from Virginia.
Yeah. It was fun.
Are the movies, is it different watching movies in Virginia?
I mean, everyone's got sort of those homebody Southern accents.
Yeah.
Even the people in the movie.
Do you have to put subtitles on?
Hell yeah. Well, yeah, that made Inception a hell of a lot more confusing, with the accents. But it's pretty much the same.
Oh, all right. I didn't know. What if it turned out that, like, Domino's actually awesome, but in Virginia it's horrible? But I'm here, I'm like, what? No, in Chicago, Domino's awesome. What are you talking about?
Oh, we're having geographic divergence.
Yeah,
God, it's
yeah.
The worst.
That's horrible.
I have a feeling that's not the case.
No, I think Domino is bad everywhere. All right, so fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. That's our email address. I gave that out already. You can
and a final thanks to Miguel, by the way, for making this whole thing possible. So
yeah, and for walking the line between softcore porn and just a formal request,
thereby raising the stakes for all future emailers.
Yeah, really,
considerably.
Really.
Bring your A game, folks.
I gave the email address. Our website is fthismovie.blogspot.com. You could be a fan of us on Facebook, right?
We have still not figured out the nomenclature on this.
No.
And it seems like something of a fool's errand.
I think it's you become a fan, but I think we're like over 160 now. So I'd like to get over the 200 mark.
All right. The gauntlet has been laid down by Patrick.
Start Conley. Getting the word out in Virginia. Okay.
Do. Oh yeah, there's a whole other market to be sown.
Yeah, come on. All right, and thanks for talking about Domino with me.
Pleasure.
Talk to you soon.